sending wholeness to all the members of the resistance and your loved ones, family members, and those people that are out there that are listening to this. First, I wanted to definitely get into cleaning up a lot of the question and answer section because I noticed there was a few things in there that I didn't see, and I wanted to encourage everyone to continue to use that channel and to ask even your most complex questions so that you can receive answers to them. The question I'm going to address first is Angela's question, and she was asking about Bobby Hemmett and Brother Panic and their insistencies in regards to melanin and also the use of sigils and necromancy and all of these things. The first thing that we would have to address is the cataclysm itself. As Earth goes into its cycles of continuing to increase its population, this has already happened before. Like, even if you do a simple mathematic equation of how aggressively the population is increasing, you can also backwards engineer that calculations and see when the first person began in this cycle through mathematics. And then you can see exactly what the interim is before a world gets to have to be birthed. Because just as you see everyone being born here, the Earth is like a large womb itself. And then eventually when it gets to a certain capacity, it births something, and everyone inside becomes a part of that new something. So first, understanding that there is a lot of knowledge that started almost immediately after the cataclysm. Well, even not even almost immediately, but years after the first cataclysm, and it was pieces of the previous knowledge and ancient knowledge, things that were discovered, things that were written on walls. And there was also a lot of involvement from the ethereal beings that had already passed into the invisible plane, some of those being negative and still remaining on the dimension itself. And they continued to coerce man and woman at that time to get involved in the things that were called the abhorred things of heaven. And it talks about this in the Book of Enoch. And I really wanted to also discuss in regards to the Bible and these ancient works. One has to mainly look for the archetype and the wise men or the deeper version of everything that's being said, because obviously none of these books can be taken literal. And it's simply because that everything in the book is a deeper archetype and not something that even actually happened. Although it takes place multiple times within fractals or individuals who take in that information and begin to live according to the scripture, as they say. So what happens is that In the last cataclysm, there was information that was a part of causing the negative side of things. And a lot of that is, again, the constant dependency of external things and using external things to bring about a change in the future rather than using internal things to bring about a change in the future for yourself. And we'll discuss that. When these individuals had gotten together, the ones that had decided to pass out knowledge again, what they decided to do was they took all of these stories and they put it into, through their level of intelligence, they put it into an actual story that can read straight through and held all the deeper meanings of the mysteries that took place on this dimension. So when the fallen ones, or those that did not ascend or but descended or remained on the same plane, began to teach this knowledge and information about Earth, which it mainly is about how Earth relates to things in its proximity. And I have a whole series of this coming, so I don't want to get into too much of it now, but it really has to do with the pentagram and the triangle and their uses in magic and what they really mean and what they correspond to. And that series is going to be called Where It All Leads. And that's one of the heights of the work. So what we have here is we have an era where individuals have learned certain knowledge that they can't put away for the simple fact that it had a binding effect because of the sheer amount of intent that a person has to put within a sigil to make the sigil alive. If the intent was something negative, hey, it just happens. We're positive and negative beings. But you have it now in a sigil. Like, imagine you make a sigil to bring about death. And you say, I'm going to use this to get someone. And then you do that. And then you realize, oh, my goodness, why did I do that? It worked. Now, this starts an ever-ending spiral of karma. then the sigil, if not destroyed, can fall into someone else's hands, and then it causes even more karma on the original creator of the sigil. So you can see, like, a lot of individuals are being held in the dimension because they began and started something that ended up, they just weren't good at seeing the whole thing all the way through or knowing how that is going to affect everything. And this is what it is to step outside of time. You're only able to step outside of time where you're, when your every single moment can be controlled by your mind, or you're just not doing any thinking at all. Noticing still in the higher states of meditation, there's really no thinking going on with the brain. So what I basically saw was is that a lot of individuals are stuck like one on they're just stuck like number one on the movie Nine, where they think that if they keep digging up this stuff and using it and convincing other people to use it, then it will become the means of an end. It's like continuing to go to war, imagining that's the means of the end. This is silliness. Like, look how many people have gone into war imagining that once they win that war, it's going to be all over. I'm going to crush my enemy. Okay, this is none other than primitive behavior that has to be stopped, for the simple fact that if we keep doing that and not understanding that the human being is immortal and it's just going to keep coming back, then it's just a never-ending spiral, which you see Ouroboros, which is a serpent swallowing its tail. Re, as I call it, meaning to redo every single thing all over and over again, record. Over and over again, keep doing the same thing and getting the same result, never realizing, hey, serpent, you need to start doing things a different way. You need to straighten out things. And so what happens here is that I looked at how if we took the words, especially that were associated with this stuff like recon, and were able to see who was actually behind that and where the error was, we could escape the error. We could escape fourth dimension. Fourth dimension in itself, and I know I'm still, that's how these questions are rolled. We'll talk about tons of things while we're still answering the question. Fourth dimension, from what I understand it now, is something of an organic dimension, organic computer, that when you use four-dimensional syllables, you can make contact with information and mainframes that are in the fourth dimension outside of time. And this being something that the reptilian counterpart did set up to create a perpetual infinity, no matter what situation it faced on Earth, as long as it knew the secret. And this type of behavior is really what happens when you have something that's so intelligent, it thinks, what did he used to say, you outthink yourself. It said, when you try to outsmart the Most High, you're only fooling yourself. So we'll continue to go on and just finish off with, basically, there is something always that you can refer back to, and that's, what did you know when you came here? In that state of pure energy and purity, you knew none of the extra stuff about how to work the root and how to do all these different things, and that's what kept you with the most energy. So the more of this that you pick up, it starts to become a trap, like Zodiac. You get trapped by the backwards destiny of Ouroboros once again, and Tiamat, Mother of Beasts. When you look at, oh, this is how I'm supposed to be, I guess this is what our destiny is to be this time, and now you're stuck into a trap. So the thing is that the more data that you pick up about things that are just not about purity, mainly about, like I said, the activation, then it becomes sometimes the same obstacles that you can't overcome, because you're still waiting on the sigil to work so that you can get a job. You're still waiting on the special name that you got to call and pray, and for that prayer to come about, never really understanding that you bring about change within yourself and your own energy. And this cycle that we're going into is amplifying that energy, so everyone is actually getting what they really wanted. The unfortunate part is that many, because they've been living in the illusion, they're getting something that when they get it, like they say, be careful what you pray for, when they get it, it's like, wow, this is it? Or I need more than this, okay, but I want this too now. Like, okay, I got that, because that's the behavior of better. I've got that, now I want new now, but never realizing they used up all their energy to manifest that one ultimate reality, which was garbage. And that's why we shoot our ideas so high. A lot of people think that I just have a really great imagination, but I mean, honestly, they haven't seen through my eyes, because I've seen a lot of different things, so I know there's more than meets the eye that goes on here. And so moving right along into the questions, because that was only the first one in the 10 minutes. Tina asked what we should do with essential oils. And basically, they basically said the Order of the Marys had this secret with these oils. And they were able to take certain plants and to extract from them their oils. And those oils allowed, when being smelled, for one to recall or to remember before the cataclysm. Because a lot of us have extended multiple lives, but not everyone. And so what happens is that when you smell these, it begins to recall. So what I've been doing lately with the oils is that a lot of oils, like lavender, is definitely purple. And certain oils are red and certain oils are green. And like geranium is green and, well, actually geranium is yellow. But what I've been doing is that I've been using those and corresponding to my chakra centers, putting like a little bit on there, and then just, you know, having that as my smell for the day. And what I noticed is that it kind of keeps you as, it's just like another redundant to your aura. Like, it keeps your color in the right place so that when you go out amongst people, that smell is actually radiating the proper color that you are. And so that's what I've really been doing. See, because a lot of the stuff you have to use in conjunction, you have to imagine yourself with all of these things, like, you know, I'm looking for a good example, but it's kind of how you see when you add different parts to a person's soul that are equipping them with what they need to continue to make it. And the only example they have for us here is these robots, how they keep upgrading them and adding different missiles and different things to them. Something of this nature. So that's really what I also heard of, something called a drip, which is, it takes two people to do this. This is kind of the, for the loved one thing going on at the significant other. But you take the drops from the oils and you just drop them onto a certain chakra, but you let it drop out of the air, and it's warm. So it's like a warm, and this, of course, takes a lot of the essential oils, which are kind of pricey, but you got a warm drip going on with a particular essential oil. And I heard that this is supposed to, chakras love this. So moving right along into R. Wilson, he said, are the pyramids on the planet, are they supposed to be here, etc.? And are they good to keep in the house? Pyramids, none of them 4D communication device. At this point, I'm realizing that there's probably a fourth dimensional us that exists also. And because we exist across multiple dimensions, so there should be no exclusion in the first. And it's that fourth dimensional being that one has to get in touch with and control and get back awoke, basically, because it's asleep in a dimension that it shouldn't really be asleep in. And that's causing them to be able to control on a certain type of level. And so let me elaborate on this just a little bit more so it makes more sense. Okay, on the fourth dimension is known to be the reptilian presence. If the reptilians have screwed around with their dimension and tweaked their dimension, which is possible, obviously, from what I'm looking at now, created somewhat of a time, or mastery of time, and then allowed the dimensions below that to be suspended in time, or called suspended animation, then you could pretty much stop a person's ascension process by sending them in a loop. You know, and this, again, is like, you really have to have a think tank of Einstein sitting around a table to figure out how to do this, but it's not like they haven't had that, seeing they have Merlin and all these other individuals and Tiana and all these other individuals hanging out with them all the time. So basically, in the fourth dimension is the pi, or the, what's called the dimension of pi, and or fire. And in this fire dimension, notice the cherubim says, I'm made of smokeless fire and I'm not going to bow down to anything that's flesh. This is a different kind of man, also called Ari man. And so I was looking at, in a nutshell, that these are 4D communication devices. I understand that they amplify one's thoughts into fourth dimension. If one can master the Tesseract, which is what I'm going to be talking about when I do Where It All Leads, one can master a superflux Tesseract, not a cube, then they're able to pull things out of fourth dimension into this reality immediately using the timelessness that exists within 4D. And this goes beyond Merkabah mysticism, because the shape is superflux. It's not, it doesn't have hard edges. It has orbic edges. And again, I'll talk about that more and show the diagrams of that more and where it all leads. Going on, Tracy S. says, the mind regression back to lower vibrations. What happens when one goes back and regresses and goes into lower vibrations? Really what's happening now is certain individuals are in a tailspin, meaning that they've been pushing out so much negative energy, they're completely blind that they're pushing out negative energy, and it's spinning out of control. This is what's happening because the dimension and the energy is speeding up. So watch for this. Definitely watch the gravity that's associated with individuals and how they would love to pull you into that field they're in, because some have been playing a gray area a lot and they're kind of in the middle. But a lot of individuals that have been not playing the gray area and been really negative have a heavily negative gravity field, for better lack of words, and are pulling others in that are around them. So just be weary of those individuals who have been practicing negativity, know they've been practicing negativity, don't care, and they're going to also speed up and become like black-white holes, whatever you want to give the term to, sucking other individuals in, thus causing one to regress. So be a little careful about the association with individuals and understanding how that all works. And that should help you to not regress. And that's, again, another reword. Going into Amokar, he says, if one dies, will they be able to escape the third dimension, the third dimensional web, or how are the dimensions and plane exactly set up? Okay. Now, when one dies, will they be able to escape the third dimension is definitely on the person. There's no way that I can say, yes, you'll be able to escape the third dimension, because then that would be lying. The fact of the matter is that we're equipping everyone with what's necessary to allow their spirit to get strong enough so that it can break through webs, just as you see a strong fish doesn't get caught in a web. And it just doesn't, you know, it breaks through the web. And so that's really where we're hitting it from that standpoint, is not taking the shape of the net, but being able to get strong enough to break the net. And for those who know what that means. And MMS, man, this thing is a miracle. I'm serious. Like, I've been noticing, I've had other encounters with it myself personally, just drinking it as in regular, 2 drops in 1 liter. And then I'm still trying to get some here into Costa Rica because it's very difficult to get it here. And so I could up the dosages back to where I was at so I can fly even more, because it seemed to be, like I said, fuel. I turned this stuff into jet fuel. Going on. We're going to address Kelly. Kelly said, why do I keep humming? It's just like a music, sweetie. It's just like a song, sweetie. When you hear that song one time, you never forget it. That song is your life. And I would encourage those to start humming or toning, as I call it, A-E-I-O-U, or like this. Honestly, you would think it does almost nothing. But if you do this before you go to sleep, hold on, but you got to definitely apply all the other stuff. And I did want to direct people to, there was one post in regards to one gentleman saying, can you help me with the dream? And there was a very great response there in regards to what you experience when you're coming in and out of the body, and how you can't control the body for a moment. It gets scary. You feel buzzing. You hear noises. I addressed that. And I guess I'll address it here in more detail just for a quick moment, because understand that is the brink. When you're traveling through inner space, you're able to pick up the essence of what you're going by. And so when you're coming back into this body, the turbulence that's going on there is stuff you can actually absorb, and it really activates your chakra, so that when you get back in the body, you have a working chakra system that's also in the physical body that turns on the organs that correspond to the chakras. So this energy is definitely also the same energy that you can play with to, because you'll always end up coming back. This is the energy that wants you back in the matrix. But this is the energy that you can play with to allow you to be able to break through fear, because this is, of course, a fearful moment because you lose control. A friend of mine was telling me, he's a surf instructor, and he was basically saying that what people's biggest phobia of deep water is because they have no control. Their feet can't touch the ground. And so this causes I can't leave myself in control of nothing, because we have this high level of individuality or ego that we still don't really address. But think about it exists right there, because the ego never wants to not be in control like that. And so when you get out there in the water, it says the ocean becomes the master, because you understand you just got to let it flow. And this is the part of that wave that you can ride when you're coming back into a body. You let that thing flow, and man, watch what happens. Going on into Demetrius' question, says, what are the things to look for in 2010? Demetrius' question, she said, I'm looking beyond the immediate plane. Basically, what are the things to look for in 2010? You got to look beyond the immediate plane and look for the subtle plane of what's taking place here in the bigger circles. And the reason is because this is still a part of the group that makes up the masses as far as the population. One's not really privy to the meetings of how the global, like, you're not in the Galactic Federation, or you're not in the UN, or you're not in the White House and the candidacy and all these different places where they have to share every single day the information that's going on multiple levels. Especially they have certain parts that have to deal with things related to the dimension, etc. And so because we're not in that, we have a portal to that knowledge as far as being able to understand what's going on. So we just have to be able to put inside of us that, okay, that's what's taking place. This is the new moves that are being made. What I see is a lot of ships are showing up already and conversing with their people. Definitely Norway, which is Norse, which is Kar, which we definitely have to talk about in some other recording. But the Norse gods have seemed to definitely show themselves back up along with their ships. Definitely, we would have already known the fourth dimensional guys. They've been hanging out in their pyramid ships for a minute, and that they've been uncloaking and cloaking just to kind of get everyone prepared to deal with the scheduled appearance, which is the wild card that I talked about in the Code of the Matrix. And so you basically looking beyond the plane, but one of the main things also look at is that the watching the manifestation rate and keeping the mind tuned into exactly what you intend on manifesting, no matter how wild it sounds to you. Because I've watched, man, so much manifestation happening right now. I've been looking back at a lot of things that were happening, even the situation just recently. Now it's like, wait a minute, man, you manifested that because you said, and I can go into a lot more detail, which I won't hear, but we're manifesting so much right now. The thing is to be clear, not get distracted as much, so you can see where your manifestation is coming and how fast it's coming, how to guide it, etc. Last but not least, Mayat wanted to know, what do I think about marijuana? Now, because there's been this question flying across the site and people want to know what I think. First of all, any teacher is never going to refer anything as strong as marijuana to a student. Not from the case of saying it's right or wrong, but because everyone has different chemistry. We're going through alchemy. And so what alchemy you use on your body is really up to you. Like if I use bad alchemy, I get headaches, I get all sorts of things. So I know when I've got something in my body that's not working for me. But what I will say is that, you know, these herbs, there's herbs in ether, which is still ethanol, are a lot different in the coupling, meaning that herbs are one thing. This is like plants, and some of the strong herbs definitely can send you off into space, like, you know, some of the ayahuascas and things like that. And then there's the ether base, which is totally different. This is like your dimethanols and your cocaines and the LSDs, these type of ethanols, or and then even spirits, which is alcohol. Now, this again is I know Ailman has pretty much figured out how to do something with alcohol, and that's Alamein, which is German, and they figured out how to do something with that and keep that balanced out in themselves and use it for some type of energy. But another individual doesn't have the same drunk style. So I would just say I keep that question on the individual, and they know what's good for them and what's not and how it's affecting them. And I would have to literally be next to them and know whether or not it's something that is good for them or not. And so I'll just leave it at that. Couple technical issues, downloading the book. If you come in and you have trouble downloading the book, there's a few links that link to different places. The link free ebook on top links to Scribe. It's to my understanding that after the 30th page of Scribe that it errors out, and that's more than likely because of how many megabytes it's taking, and Scribe having a megabyte limit on each book being viewed. So the person will have to download it from that point, and if that link is not working, they can refer to the site by right-clicking below the book and selecting Save Target As. And then Mac should definitely be downloading with their own download software. Someone asked real briefly about uploading PDFs onto their page, and I'll just get with me and I'll show you how to upload them to Scribe first and then to embed them onto your page if you want to do that. And that's pretty much what's going on for right now. I definitely wanted to say that we're alive and kicking, very strong. We're going to be launching the radio station again. Esoteric Radio is definitely going to be broadcasting once a week. I'm thinking of doing it on Sunday since that seems to be the program day of everyone laying back and being prepared to do that. If anyone wants to put some input into what day is best, I would definitely take that into my email box. And other than that, let's get to it.